Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Halfway through the show, ladies and gentlemen, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby also here along for the ride. Got some new college football rankings. By the way,
I like these.
That University of Wisconsin-Minnesota game that got canceled, Scraby brought up earlier. Minnesota. That cancellation ends a 113-year streak of them playing one another. So,
Oh,
Scraby's upset about something.
113 years?
Yeah.
And you're just going to give up like that?
I don't think they're just giving up like
take the Lions to the end of the out year. Of the Thanksgiving
no!
Day game, Scraby. It's okay.
I know. I try to take away things
from people
all
the time. Why did you all
of
a sudden become Mr. Tradition on the show? That's my job.
Well, I think Thanksgiving has a certain tradition, and I want to see my Lions, but I
you
also...
You don't want to see your Lions.
First of all, they're
you
not
hate
your Lions.
They're
not your
Who
Lions.
Who said they're your Lions? Why did you want the Lions?
Usually I have
people
someone...
that are Lions fans don't even admit that they're their Lions.
You know, I usually always have a Lion on my fantasy football team, so that's why I want to be Lions.
Oh, my Lord. You're just making up stuff
You're just
now.
Making up stuff. You mean you usually have a Lion on your fantasy football
I had Calvin Johnson for years, and so I love watching him... Crush everybody on Thanksgiving.
Scraby. Knock it off, bro.
Don't take away my Lions and don't take away my Minnesota game.
I just wanted to point out that the 113-year streak will be coming to an end.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to this college football rankings because it has caused a few teams to hold up on picking opponents. Mm-hmm. And I find it quite hilarious.
Me too.
That the one team that has been stiff-arming us, it seems like, and among some other teams, BYU, didn't quite land as high as I think they thought they were going to land.
No, they did not.
They landed in the 14th spot, which leaves you far, far out of the playoffs at this point. Now, I'll give you the rundown here. Alabama, as everybody assumed, is one, and Notre Dame is two.
Right.
Followed by Clemson, Ohio State, Texas.
And that, by the way, is a little stick to Ohio State, because Ohio State thought they were going to at least be third, and they got passed by Clemson. But part of that is because Ohio State hasn't played any games.
Four games. They've played there's three teams on here that have played four or fewer games in this top 25.
Yeah.
You got, obviously, Ohio State. You got USC, and you have Oregon. Those USC and Oregon are both 3-0. Ohio State is 4-0. But BYU is in that 14th spot, sandwiched between Iowa State and Oregon.
The thing with BYU is they're ranked 8th in the AP poll.
Yeah.
And earlier this week, we had the big hiccup with BYU tweeting out the fact that
anytime, any team, any place.
Okay, now I have reason why they tweeted that out, by the way. They have an open date this week and next week. They have no game scheduled either of the next 2 weeks. So BYU said, we'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. Apparently, according to Bruce Feldman, I believe it was, college football writer, tweeted out that Washington approached BYU about playing this week, and BYU thought better of it and said, maybe, we can't risk our ranking. We got to wait to see where we are.
Maybe not any team, any place,
maybe
anywhere.
Maybe not. Yeah. And the fact that they came out ranked 8th, they apparently told Washington, no, 8th's good. We're going to stay here. We don't want to take a chance of losing our ranking. Well, now they come out and they're 14. So they're far away from the spot they need to be. As a matter of fact, as far as making one of those big New Year's games or whatever they call them, college football playoff New Year's Six games. Cincinnati is number 7 in the rankings, way, way ahead of BYU number 14 in terms of teams that are non-BCS or non-traditional power conferences. So now the irony is BYU missed out apparently on its chance to play Washington, and now they could really use a win over Washington.
They could have.
To vault up in the rankings where they'd like to be. And guess what? BYU now only has one game left.
Guess who it's
on their schedule?
Any guesses, anybody? Wouldn't it be sweet?
Wouldn't it be great if the Aztecs could just pummel them and knock them completely out of any contention? Yes,
it would be music to my ears.
Oh, that would make me so happy. But I will say this. On the flip side of that, BYU, if they don't get a game scheduled between now and December 12th against the Aztecs,
they could fall. They can fall their way into.
No, they're going to be looking to pile up the score against the Aztecs if the Aztecs don't show up. So, the Aztecs, I know they have another game scheduled against Colorado State before that BYU game, but the Aztecs, if they go in when they go in against BYU. They better go in with their eyes open,
and you
because
know,
they got to know that BYU is going to be looking to run up the score if they have a chance.
You know what sucks about it, too, is that you get the sense that obviously because BYU hasn't been on the radar of the Aztecs, like these kids may not have the same feeling
towards BYU that we did. In fact, Brady Hoke would be wise to bring you and I in that week to address the team. Just to get them in the proper frame of mind for that game against BYU.
Because
I want those kids, I want them hyped beyond all hyped for that game. That's going to be a big chance for the Aztecs to make their season, and it's going to be BYU's only chance. I will say this, I'm never going to stick up for BYU. I mean, you look at their schedule, Navy, Troy, Louisiana Tech, Texas San Antonio, Houston, Texas State, Western Kentucky, Northern Alabama. That's why they're ranked 14th.
Right.
Their only quality win was at Boise State. And I must say, I take a little exception to the fact, if I'm BYU, that I beat Boise State by 34 points, and I still couldn't get any higher than that in the rankings.
Let me say, you mentioned that they're 9-0. This is who they missed because the schedule had to change. This is who came off the schedule. Utah, Michigan State, Arizona State, Minnesota, Missouri, and Stanford. Now,
that was originally what they had scheduled, but they're not in the conference.
Right. If they would have been 9-0 with those type of wins,
they'd be in the thing for sure.
They'd be in it for sure. But
good point.
They don't have those wins on their resume because they never played those games. So they sit where they sit, and I think a lot of it is
due to the schedule. How sorry for BYU I feel.
Not even a little bit.
On a scale of 1 to 10,
-0.
Yeah, maybe even -1. They left the Mountain West Conference because they were too big for the Mountain West Conference. So
I remember.
That's they made their bed. They get to lie in it. And I just hope that the Aztecs remember that BYU left the conference because they didn't think the Aztecs and others were worthy of playing on a yearly basis. And I just hope San Diego State brings it on December 12th. Because I'll tell you one thing. I won't be able to pop off if the Aztecs get stuffed 51-17 or something like that.
They can't get boat race.
No,
they can't.
They've got to play a great game.
The College Football Playoff Selection Committee Chair, Gary Barta, appearing on ESPN's Ranking Revision Show, indicated the committee is certainly impressed by BYU, but
impressed by them, but we dropped them 7 spots.
But acknowledged schedule came into play. So those teams that you named on that schedule.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't do BYU any favors in terms of where they're ranking at. So
And I was really upset to see my buddies Liberty lost a game somewhere along the line because they've fallen out of the top
25.
But that's
25. Okay. Coastal Carolina replaced them. They got on
Coastal
in there.
Coastal Carolina's in there. Yeah, there's still a couple of crazy. Marshall's still in the rankings.
Yep.
Tulsa's in there.
Yep.
Tulsa's even got a loss, and they're in the top 25. So It's a strange year, regardless.
It's just weird to see Indiana as a football
team.
It's
weird to see that, but they played Ohio State.
They look good.
Pretty tough
they did.
The other day. They only lost them by, 7 points?
Yeah.
They were in the game pretty much throughout, and that was at Ohio State. So Indiana's got a real football team this year. So does Northwestern. Northwestern's in the top 10.
Yeah.
I don't recall that happening too often in my lifetime.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Certainly been a while.
They can go to the Big Ten conference game if they win one of their next three. That is Northwestern.
Northwestern.
Yes.
Against what, Ohio State probably?
Basically, yeah. Basically, no one else has played in their side of the,
I'm about
the
to say,
Big Ten.
Wisconsin, have they played a game?
They played like two or three, and they keep getting stuff canceled on them.
By the way, can we talk about it? No, we can't talk about it because I think we're talking about it later on in the show in terms of Heisman.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a part of the Big Five at 5:30.
Yeah, so we can't talk about it, but we'll talk
about
it. I'll
give you a little preview. Is the Heisman going to stand up this year to other years?
Will there be an asterisk? Is that what you're asking?
Will there be an asterisk?
I have to think about that.
Only if you don't win it.
Don't take my shirt off.
I got to tell you this. One thing I like about the Big Ten conference standings, I just looked at them for the first time all year.
The first time.
Well, why would I look at them otherwise?
I don't know. I just feel like Chris sometimes just studies standings.
No, I don't. But I'm looking at the Big Ten standings. Last place in the West, Nebraska. Mm. I love that. Even better, last place and winless in the East, Penn State.
Mm.
Sorry, Penn State. And I say that with all due respect to our good friend AJ Cassavell, who's a big Penn State guy. But Penn State being winless, this is the same Penn State that is coached by James Franklin, who was kicking field goals and tacking on scores against teams the last couple of years in order to avert shutouts and pile up the score and win by as many as he could. And
wasn't there some popping off going on between him and some other coaches,
too? James Franklin is a guy that doesn't seem to really care when it's going his way. He likes to pile it up as big and possible as he can. The only thing that could be sweeter than Penn State being 0-5 would be if Dan Mullen in Florida go 0-5 next year. But I love it when teams that the big boys, the bullies on the block, have to take it on the chin. And, man, Penn State has really taken it this year. 0-5.
If you remember, the Nebraska head coach, Scott Frost, was the guy that I didn't like because he left his players. UCF? Was it UCF or USF?
He left UCF.
UCF. Right after the game, it was announced that he's moving to Nebraska.
Yeah.
So it's. I'm happy to see him having such a hard time in
Nebraska. He's not allowed to change jobs?
Well, my argument was that you don't tell your team.
You got to stay with the same job for the rest of his life.
You don't tell your team after you win a
bowl
game.
Well, then you shouldn't like Brady Hoke either. He left the Aztecs before a bowl game and went to his dream job
in
Michigan.
Does his team know that?
So you pretty much can't like any coach.
Because
they all
leave.
Of course they did. He left before the game.
Scott Frost didn't tell anyone. After the game, a reporter asked the player, how does it feel to win for your coach before he goes to Nebraska? They're like, what?
That's not good to find out that way.
Well,
either way.
Coaches do have to move along.
The point is that Chris is trying to make is karma does come into play sometimes when you're a head coach.
So. I'm trying to remember the exact thing with James Franklin last year, but it was something to where they had a shutout and they were kneeling on the ball at the end of the game. They did something to make sure that they got a shutout. And, you know, I don't remember exactly. They were blitzing. They did something.
They were doing something out of pocket.
That was out of pocket that kept the team from getting a field goal or something at the end of the game. And James Franklin said, hey, if they want to do better, they just got to be better.
Right.
Okay, well, guess what, James? You want to do better this year? 0-5. Welcome
zero,
to it.
Zero dubs, buddy.
Welcome to it.
Because his name has been, was rumored to be coming out west as possible an SC choice, but I'm sure they don't want a coach that's 0-5 at this point. I'm pretty positive.
They already have a coach who they think can go 0-5 and Clay Helton. Even though he's 3-0, they still want to fire him.
Every year, it seems like.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, let's get to break. When we come back, Keith Smith, Yahoo Sports NBA insider, will join us to talk all things NBA. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All righty. 5:20 is the time. Welcome back, Gwen and Chris. We're going to talk some NBA right now. Keith Smith is going to join us on the SDCC Fan Hotline in just a half second here. The reason I want you to stay tuned, because I dug during the break to find out why I hate Penn State head coach James Franklin.
Right.
And the story's even better than I thought. So we'll share it with you in about 10 minutes. But right now, SDCC Fan Hotline, as advertised, Keith Smith, YahooSports.com, NBA writer. And Keith, I'm taking a look at some of the headlines here. Bam Adebayo, 5-year contract extension, Miami. Brandon Ingram, 5-year max extension, Pelicans. Fred Van Vliet stays with the Raptors. And on, the Warriors get Kelly Oubre Jr. On and on, the headlines go. And I'm thinking to myself, how fun for all these teams to sign all these players when the Lakers were the team that really made all the moves that matter here in the last few days.
Yeah, there's a little bit to that for sure. There's some questions with the Lakers. Are they actually a better team in the playoffs than they were a year ago? Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder at times have been guys who have struggled a little bit in the playoffs. So we'll see how that roster comes together. Their depth isn't, you know, really good because they had to sacrifice a lot of it. But, you know, they're going to be fine. Anytime you have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, you know you're going to be right in the mix to win another championship.
Keith, one of the things I found to be interesting, and you were seeing it leading up to the draft and after the draft, was San Diego State, former San Diego State Aztec now, Malachi Flynn, was going to go to the Raptors. And the thought was, okay, the Raptors will lose Fred Van Vliet, but they'll pick up a guy who's probably the comp, I would say, for Malachi Flynn, although Van Vliet ended up signing back with the Raptors. What happens with a guy like Malachi Flynn when you've already got a guy who's very similar to him and Van Vliet? Are they just going to work him in? They're going to try to see what they have in him? How is this going to work out?
Yeah, they'll work him in. The challenge for any rookie this year is training camp is going to last for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we're right into games. There's no summer league, none of that stuff. So these guys are going to – it's going to be a difficult transition for a lot of these guys. So I think what you're going to ultimately see is this rookie year is going to really be tough adjustment. So I think with a guy like Malachi Flynn, he'll come in, he'll be, you know, behind Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, but he'll get his shot at some point because I think the Raptors will prioritize keeping guys healthy for the stretch run and into the postseason. But it's going to be tough. But it's a learning year. It's a development year. And that was probably going to be his role regardless. And I think that's actually a good thing, and it's okay for him.
Keith, all right, let's stay well off the Lakers then. Let's go to the rest of the NBA. What moves have been made here in the last week or so that you think will have the most impact on the teams that made them? You know, some free agent pickups or some re-signings, et cetera. Which teams have done the best here in the last few days?
I think the Portland Trailblazers have done really well. Huh. That was a team that didn't have any depth behind Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic, and now they've got all sorts of guys who can play. They traded for Robert Covington. They added Carmelo or re-signed Carmelo Anthony, Rodney Hood. Then they went out, traded for Enes Kanter. They added Derek Jones Jr. They've got good depth now, and that's going to really help that team because they went from being a team that looked like, all right, they'll be in the mix for a playoff spot in a really deep Western Conference to now, you know, barring a disaster, I think they, you know, have a good chance of being one of the top four teams in the entire West. So I think that's really important for them. And then in the East, it's a little hard to look past Philadelphia. They've done really well at rebalancing their team. That Al Horford deal did not work out well for them a year ago. It was a weird fit, and now they've got a roster that makes a lot more sense for the modern game. So I think you're going to see Philadelphia, you know, do some things here and look pretty good.
Yeah, they really got back to the similar roster they had a few years ago where they had a bunch of shooting around their two centerpieces. And as you're right, it's going to be interesting to see. But I got to ask you, which move of the free agent moves did you feel like just wasn't the right fit? And there's a couple of them to go off of. The one that comes to mind for me is the move that the Hornets make in bringing, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his name, from Boston.
Gordon Hayward.
Gordon Hayward. Does that move make any sense to you, Keith?
It does in the sense of if you're the Hornets, you have to overpay right. to get free agents to come. Gordon Hayward had a really good year for the Celtics. He was basically 17 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists on really, really good shooting percentages. The challenge for me is if you're the Hornets, all this really does is lift you to maybe the 8th seed at best in the East, and I don't even know if they're quite there, and that's a huge financial commitment. It's going to average about $30 million a year over the next 4 years. The other thing I worry about is Gordon Hayward at the when everything was getting ramped up for the restart, in his presser before that, you know, said when asked, you know, how are you feeling, he said, I still have constant pain in my leg from breaking it, you know, at that point 3 years prior, and he wow. said, it's just something I'm going to have to deal with and live with for the, you know, probably the rest
it's
of my career.
Just what the Hornets wanted to hear, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so that's the tough thing, you know, for a guy like that in that one. And then the other team I'll give you who's confusing, and we're still waiting to see it all shake out, is the Detroit Pistons. They look like they were getting ready to rebuild, but then they add Jeremy Grant, who's a nice player, but kind of a weird contract for them where they're at. They're going to be cycling guys in and out. It's still hard to fully grasp exactly who's on that roster. So that's another one that looks a little odd.
Keith Smith, YahooSports.com NBA writer, joining us. Always kind with his time. Talk about the association. How do you think things are going to shake out in Houston with, you know, Harden and Westbrook and their desires and obviously the change in management and coaching, and what are the Rockets going to look like when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I think we're going to get into the season with both of the guys in place still on the Rockets, but for different reasons. I think with James Harden, it's going to be the Rockets holding out for that massive, enormous trade package that they know they can demand for him, because he's a guy who is, I don't know where everybody would have him, but everybody would agree a top five player
right.
in the league for sure. So they're not going to trade him for anything less than one or two young players who look pretty good and are under team control, and then a bunch of picks and everything else that'll make to allow the Rockets to continue to be competitive. And then on the flip side, Russell Westbrook, the hard thing is finding a home where he fits. You know, I think there was some hope, well, maybe the New York Knicks will go for him. Maybe the Hornets will spend some of their cap space on him. And that's the challenge, is it's not that Westbrook is a bad player, because that's getting a little overblown.
Right.
Guy still made all NBA. He's still a good player, but he has to be in the right situation. And that right situation needs to be give him the ball a whole heck of a lot and let everybody else play off him. And I think there's a lot of teams that are saying, that's not exactly who we want to be, and we certainly don't want to be that for, you know, well over $120 million for the next three seasons.
Yeah, that makes it a tough place to find a home for Russell. Let me ask you this, Keith, because I'm very curious to know, come next season in the NBA, will we see something that we're seeing in the NFL where certain places are going to allow fans? I saw the Jazz. They look like they're going to allow a limited number of fans at games. Is that how it's going to be across the league, where depending on what state you're in, you might have some fans just like the NFL we're seeing in?
Yeah, I think so. I think at least to start the season, that's what we're going to see. It's a lot like the country as a whole, right? Everybody's
right.
kind of doing their own thing and, you know, deciding what's best for their state. And you know, we could debate that, but that's a whole other type of show. I think what you're going to see with the NBA is those markets that allow fans, the NBA put their kind of cap on it, which was, you know, limited fans, no more than 25% of the building and those kind of things. And then they, though, then you'll fully understand that the local rules, guidelines, whatever you want to call them, will trump that. So if
right.
it's New York City or Boston says none at all, then it's none at all, and that's how it is. But if they say, you know, yeah, we can, you know, do this, this is how, you know, we can make this work in other places, and then they'll move forward with that. So it's going to be a little weird to see how it goes. But I will say one other thing. With the NBA, we've seen this. They were the first league to shut down.
Yeah.
So if they get the sense of having people in these buildings doesn't feel good and it's causing other issues, they'll close it down right away. I don't think they'll shut the league down again unless things really get dire. But they'll shut it down again as far as, we're not going to have anybody in the buildings. We'll play in these empty arenas.
Keith Smith, good stuff. YahooSports.com, our NBA guy, and always good. Keith, one last thing, because it's just me, and I feel like I got to ask. Why would my favorite team use the fourth pick in the entire draft, the Chicago Bulls, to pick a guy that couldn't even start in college? Can you make me feel a little better? I haven't slept since the draft.
No, I'll make you feel better. They got a really good player in Patrick Williams.
Right.
That Florida State team was a little weird the way they were set up. They have very good depth. They went with a more roster balance, I guess, is the best way to put it, with guys versus instead of maybe just playing their best players. But Patrick Williams, there's a lot of people who have said to me, this guy's stat line is just kind of eh. And I said, well, that's his role. He didn't play, as much, and he didn't have the ball a lot. That's a very equal opportunity system there, Florida State. But they got a good athlete, a guy who can really play, and I think he fits in really well with that team, because what they need is someone who's going to run the floor, get open, do the dirty work around guys like Kobe White, Zach LaVine, Wendell Carter, Lauri Markkanen. Those are the guys who are going to have the ball a lot. And I think Patrick Williams is a really perfect fit with that young core.
Ah, there you go.
Feel better already.
There you go, Chris.
All right. I always said the Bulls were smart. Always thinking two steps ahead of the rest of the league. That's why they're so successful. Hey, Keith, thanks so much for the time, man. Have a great holiday. Appreciate your time.
I appreciate you guys. Have a great Thanksgiving. Y'all stay safe, you and yours.
You do the
same. Absolutely, we will. Keith Smith right there, YahooSports.com, NBA writer. Joining us on the SDCCU fan hotline, double payback days are here. Use your SDCCU debit or credit card, and you could win up to $1,000. No purchase necessary. For details, visit SDCCU.com. All right, good stuff from Keith Smith. All right, I can't wait to tell you the James Franklin story. It's like makes him look worse than I thought I could.
You're gonna have to save it till 6 o'clock now, because we got the Big Five coming up next.
Thank you, Tony, for looking out for me.
We might have to save it till tomorrow.
No, we don't need to do that.
We'll get it in. We'll get it in. But if you're happy Penn State is 0-5 like I am, you won't want to miss it.
AJ, I hope you're listening. Right,
I know.
Now.
Sorry, AJ. I do feel bad for AJ, because I know he's a major fan. Gwynn and Chris rolling back with the Big Five next on 97.3 The Fan.
Five. 538 on the dial. This hour is brought to you by San Diego County BMW Centers. Hurry in to the BMW Road Home Sales event to receive a credit of up to $3,500 on select models. Now through November 30th, contact the San Diego County BMW Centers today for details, or visit sdcountybmw.com. Chris, go.
James Franklin, this is why I don't like him, and I never will. Penn State was beating Georgia State. First of all, why is Penn State even playing Georgia
State? This was late in the season, too, I feel like.
I think it was last year, a couple years ago, within the last 2 years. Penn State 56, Georgia State nothing. Time running out in the game. Georgia State's on the 14-yard line, sets up for a 31-yard field goal to get on the scoreboard. Just before the snap, James Franklin calls a timeout.
To ice the kicker.
He's asked about it after the game. His explanation is a bunch of coach speak gobbledygook. He said he had his fourth team defense on the field and needed to get his second team field goal unit out there. That's why he called the timeout. Insisted he wasn't trying to ice the kicker. But whether you believe that explanation or not, he did ice the kicker because I missed it. And Penn State ended up with a 56-0 victory. Mike Francesa, the loudmouth radio voice in New York, said he didn't have a block the field goal team. It's 56-0. Let him kick the ball. And then to try and lie about it, what a stooge. Yeah. That's all you need to know about James Franklin and why I'm happy he's 0-5.
All right, let's check traffic. Kelly Daddick.
I applaud him.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Gwynn and Chris. Goodwin and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
You know why I applaud James Franklin for his move there of calling a timeout to get his other team on the field?
You would applaud that.
You know why? Because it goes directly into what Chris was telling me a few weeks ago. You play to win the game.
He's already winning.
He won the game 56-0 or 56-3. My point is you play to win the game, not embarrass the other team.
I mean, I think Georgia State would be very happy to get the money that they got.
I'm about to say they're happy, but they don't want to be embarrassed.
I mean,
They were just trying to get on the scoreboard. This guy's an embarrassment.
I wonder if Saquon Barkley was playing on that team. I mean,
this guy's an embarrassment.
Depending on if it was last year or 2 years ago.
Are you calling me an embarrassment or James Franklin?
Both of you. Both of you.
I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming. If you have any Big Five topics, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Matt Scraby. It's S-K-R-A-B as in boy Y. I am not Scravy or Gravy. Matt Scraby.
Oh.
You can find Tony at Tony Good Jr. And you can find Chris at Chris LLSB.
I can't put any Scravy on my turkey?
No, you can't put any Scravy on your turkey. That's actually, it makes me think of scurvy. But anyway, let's go.
Number five.
Rams wide receivers put on a show last night with Robert Woods catching 12 balls for 130 yards and a touchdown. Cooper Kupp added 11 catches for 145 yards. And those performances came in the 27-24 Rams win over the Bucks last night in Tampa. One of the game's best wide receivers was watching, and he tweeted some support for Cooper Kupp. That player would be Packers star wide receiver Devontae Adams. He tweeted, quote, Cooper Kupp is the most underrated receiver in this league, end quote. Tony, who's the most underrated? Why am I having such a hard time saying that?
Underweighted.
Who's underweighted? The most underrated receiver in the league in your mind?
Wow.
In the whole league?
You really could have both of those guys on that Rams team as the most underrated.
You already said Robert Woods was
Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp.
I can't say that word. Underrated.
Yeah.
Not underweighted.
You know who else is kind of underrated? And I gotta say, he doesn't get the ball all the time, but third downs, my man Derek Carr is looking for him. It's Renfro.
He only gets it about two times.
But it's always in a big down. He seems like he catches the first down. But I would say Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are the two most underrated. Now you got me messing up the word. Underrated wide receivers in the league.
What do you think, Chris?
That's tough. A couple guys come to mind. Mike Williams, Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah.
Just in terms of athleticism and skill and ability, doesn't get talked about amongst the top receivers in the league because he doesn't put up those kind of numbers. But I've seen him make some of the most amazing catches and, not get a whole lot of publicity for it. The other guy that somehow gets it done because, I mean, I'm a fan of guys that are always open. And then when they make one-handed catches in the corner of the end zone like he did the other day, I'm pretty impressed, and that's Adam Thielen.
Oh, my gosh.
So there you go.
He was nice.
By the way, I just saw that he tested negative for COVID.
Oh, he's okay
now? After testing positive, so it looks like it was a false positive, but who knows?
Although Adam Thielen does get quite a bit of pub, so that's a bit of a push. But I'm just trying to find guys that aren't like on the cream of the crop list.
Brandon Ayuk?
Who?
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver for the 49ers.
Yeah, I know he's a wide receiver for the 49ers. beat the snot out of me in fantasy a couple weeks ago. I know exactly
Ayuk.
Who he is. All right, stop it.
I'm in a weird mood. This is a holiday week. We're all in kind of like a weird mood.
I don't even want to tune in tomorrow. I don't know what you're going to be like.
Oh, it's going to get wild in here. All right. Tony was talking about the Heisman Trophy earlier, and we're about to give it away here in a few weeks, maybe like three. And the leader in the clubhouse, according to odds, would be Kyle Trask, who is the quarterback of Florida. And Chris
eliminate him immediately. Not his fault, but his coaches.
The second person who is rumored to be a Heisman finalist would be Mac Jones, the quarterback of Alabama. This year, though, some may say is not the same. So, Chris, should the 2020 Heisman Trophy have an asterisk?
No.
Yeah, no.
Probably
no.
Would be about where I'm at. I'm The Heisman Trophy, honestly, has lost quite a bit of luster in the last 20 years. It's lost some luster in the last 10, and it's almost lost all of its luster in the last 5. I don't know. Did Joe Burrow win it last year? I guess he did. He was the number one pick, but I don't know if he did. Baker Mayfield has won it. Kyler Murray has won it. Lamar Jackson's won it. Seems like they just kind of give it to the top quarterback in the country every year.
Yeah, he won. Joe Burrow won.
So I'd like to see the Heisman Trophy, you know, similar to my discussion earlier about considering a guy like Travis Kelce for NFL MVP. Like, why it has to be a quarterback every single time, and it's been ages since it's been, you know, anybody else. So, I don't know. I don't think they really ever give it to the best player. They give it to the PR machine of the guy
who made the most news on Twitter.
No, it's the guy who's the quarterback of the team whose coach is willing to run up the score the most. That seems like who wins the Heisman Trophy. And
so Penn State should have more Heisman Trophy winners then.
they got their share. But I just the whole Heisman situation is just kind of weird to me. I'm not a big fan of the award. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it.
I don't either. I used to remember like sitting in front of my TV waiting for them to announce.
When you're a kid, it was the biggest deal of all time. But
what do you think,
Tony? Now there's so much social media hype, it's hard to keep track of it
all. Right. You're right. Do you think the 2020 Heisman Trophy should have an asterisk?
Yes.
I mean, especially if somebody from Oregon wins it and it only plays three games.
That's what I'm saying. Just look at the records we went through in that top 25 at the playoff. There are so many. There's going to be some teams that play as many as 4 games less than another team.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think this year it is a year that there. I don't know if it should have an asterisk, but it will have an asterisk.
I mean, Kyle Trask, honestly, Dan Mullen is out there every single Saturday playing inferior opponents like Vanderbilt last week. And all he cares about is how many points he scores and how many yards his quarterback throws for so he can try to get him the Heisman Trophy. And there's just something wrong with that. There's just something capitalistic about all of that.
I was just about to say, I wonder if there's a bonus or something in a coach's contract about if you have a player that wins the Heisman, you get some money.
I don't know.
I guess that would be very counterproductive and illegal or something. I don't know.
I feel like it just feels illegal when you said it. So I don't know if it actually is. It just felt illegal.
It totally does feel illegal. And what we're going to talk about next is not illegal, but Mike McCarthy of the Dallas Cowboys, he channeled his inner Gallagher last Saturday before the game between the Cowboys and the Vikings because he decided to smash some watermelons. Here is Tom Pelissero talking about it on NFL Network.
Saturday night, at the team hotel in a meeting in a ballroom, Mike McCarthy gets up at the front of the room and says, guys, I want to apologize. I don't think I did a good enough job emphasizing our objectives for the week, one of which was to hammer the ball out of Dalvin Cook's hands. At that point, McCarthy pulls out a sledgehammer, not a prop, a full sledgehammer to knock a wall down with, and someone rolls in a bunch of watermelons. Each one has a different objective written on it. McCarthy reads the objective. Bam! Smashes the watermelon. He goes down the row doing this. The players are roaring. McCarthy's pants are soaked. Finally gets to the watermelon with Dalvin Cook's picture on it. DeMarcus Lawrence jumps up and goes, I gotta get that one. He hands over the sledgehammer to Lawrence. He smashes that watermelon.
That was Tom Pelissero on the NFL Network. Now, the Cowboys went out the next day and they won. They beat the Vikings. They looked great on offense. So, Tony, you're up first on this one. Do you think Mike McCarthy smashing watermelons has anything to do with the play on Sunday?
It could have. I mean, listen, when your team is as bad as the Cowboys, you are looking for any type of motivating factor. And if smashing some watermelons that had the game plan that was out there, I guess if that's what it took, I guess that's what it took. Because they got to win. So at least for this week, he can say it worked. Now, I don't know if he can keep rolling out same thing every week.
Do you think this week he like brings out some like oranges and he's smashing oranges?
I don't know what he's. And by the way, was he sweating because It was a lot of work getting that sledgehammer.
Was
his pants wet because of the watermelon?
No, I think it was because he was working so hard smashing things with the sledgehammer.
That would be my guess, because I know that sledgehammer isn't light.
Yeah, I'm not going to make any other jokes. Chris, what do you think?
I guess if as long as he's not sledgehammering Dalvin Cook, it's okay.
I thought that was a little weird, too. I mean, you don't need to sledgehammer someone's face. Do that outside the media.
That seems a little bit much.
By the way, the cleanup in that ballroom.
Yeah, whose job is that?
That couldn't have been.
That's messed up.
That couldn't have been all that easy.
You know he didn't do it.
You think Andy Dalton, he was like, all right, guys, I'll clean it up.
Andy's a good dude. I think. There's always the old saying, if you need that to get pumped up for a game, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
However, there was something wrong with the Cowboys. They're 2-7 going into the game. They did need something like that. So I'll give them a thumbs up. They got to win. Give them credit. Although it's a little odd, for sure.
Number two.
Carson Wentz has struggled mightily this season, as has 24 total turnovers in just 10 games. And as you know, Philadelphia is not nice to someone who's not playing quarterback at a high level. I shall bestow the decision to you guys. Chris, you're up first. Should Jalen Hurts replace Carson Wentz as the starter in Philly now?
Tomorrow?
Now.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I just don't think Jalen Hurts has been worked into anything yet. So I think
he's been on there a couple times, but not
much. I think
you'd
be throwing him to the wolves at this point. They're still in first place, which is ridiculous, at 3-6-1. So I can understand why they're keeping Wentz in as the starter. No, I don't think they've done a good job of, you know, working in Jalen Hurts at all, at least not from what I've seen. So I think it would be too big of a jump to just ask him to go ahead and start right now and give away the rest of the season when they're already as bad as they are. Especially, God, Monday night against the Seahawks, that's a tough game.
By the way,
at home, where the fans would cheer him when he ran out on the field and then boo the first time he throws an incomplete pass.
Very
well,
true.
Whatever fans they have.
Yeah.
No, I just don't think so. Although I think Wentz is awful. I think they just got to get him playing somehow get him better. And you got to work Jalen Hurts in. I don't think you just throw him to the wolves.
Good call. Tony, what do you think?
That's
should they
call.
Replace Jalen Hurts?
Right call.
Well, I bestowed the decision upon you.
I'm sure Jalen Hurts wouldn't mind getting thrown.
No, he'd love it. Yeah,
but
sure.
I think Chris is right. I've seen Jalen in a few different packages. All of them, for the most part, require him being in the backfield,
on
the wide receiver. Yeah. And that's not enough. Now, I think he's more than capable, but as Chris said, you gotta work him in a little bit better. And if this team starts to fall out of contention, which is very hard to do in this division, maybe you do go that route. But right now, they're all tied for that spot. And until things change, and it looks like you're gonna have pretty much to the last week of the season to figure this division out.
Yeah.
You don't need to make that move right now.
Yeah, the Eagles are 3-6-1, but the bad news for them is that they're leading the division. It would be better. It would be better for them, honestly, if they were out of it and they could see if Jalen Hurts could play for a few games.
But listen, the other thing you've got to remember is Carson Wentz got that huge extension not that long ago. What was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah,
he got that
potential out in 2022.
Yeah, they're praying he takes that out right now.
Oh, he's not going to take that
out.
Oh,
yeah.
Take
I know out. He's
Where's
not
he
going to
go.
I said they're praying that he takes that out.
God,
yeah.
There's no team that would want that guy as their quarterback right now.
Number one.
You want to talk about a bad beat? Let's talk about the guy who lost $7,000 because Patrick Mahomes kneeled the ball a couple times Sunday night to close out the Raiders. He had a 9-selection same-game parlay and had completed every other category he needed to win $7,000. Well, Patrick Mahomes needed over 16.5 yards rushing. He had 18 until he kneeled the ball two times, which gave him a total of 16 yards rushing, and the bet was busted. So, really, the only question I have in this one is, Tony, do you think a kneel down should be considered a loss of rushing yards?
Yeah, you're going backwards. I'm sorry.
But don't you think you could do a kneel, like a kneel stat? Like how many times you kneel?
If you really want to do a kneel, when you snap the ball, just go straight down. Don't take the step back.
Yeah, that's true. Sportsbooks don't want this. They want to keep this.
Of course they do.
They want to keep this.
It keeps them from paying off $7,000 that they almost had to pay.
What do you think, Chris?
I don't have enough time to give you my full thought, but the Arena League used to have a rule that if you lost yardage intentionally on a running play, the clock stopped. So you could not run out a game kneeling on the football. You had to try to gain yardage.
That's a great rule.
And I think
rule.
The NFL needs to put that same rule in, because I hate to see a great NFL game end with three kneel downs.
Huh. All right. That's it. Thanks, guys. Padres pen pals, Triple P.
On the
PPP. Next. GNC, I don't know whose turn it is to say goodbye, so I'll just
97.3 The Fan?
Yeah, that too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.